We're doing Sedra Adorot. We were up to Nimrod, who we had seen in the year 1788. Nimrod had established his monarchy in Babylon. And Nimrod conquered his enemies, and then he found himself a plateau to the east. He built a city, and he named the city Shinar. And even though Chazal have one interpretation of Shinar, he quotes another interpretation from Chazal, that Shinar is that Hashem Na'ar, Hashem swept away all his enemies. And he ruled over everyone, all the descendants of Noah. And everyone spoke one language, and Nimrod became the most wicked person around. No one was as wicked as him from the days of the flood. And he started teaching people evil ways. And his son, Mirdon or Midron, different versions, was even more wicked than him. Nimrod built all kinds of cities. Nimrod was named Amraphel because all his officers and people fell with the tower that fell. So Amraphel is like a Nafal, that everyone fell. Amraphel, like Amnafel. Everyone fell. The whole nation. All his people fell. And some say, his kingdom began in the 23rd year of Sirug. He made an idol that looked like him, and he forced everyone to bow to it. And they named that idol Baal. Baal is the Babylonian idol through the days of the destruction of the first temple. Now, this idol was still around in Babylon until Daniel's time. This is interesting because there's a whole story in Josephus about how Daniel overcame different Babylonian idols. He proved to them that they were nonsensical. But they would offer their kids to these different idols. So he... So he was king for... and in this kingdom, in the Babylonian Empire, you had 37 kings in the span of 1,305 years. Some say that at the end of Nimrod's life, his own children castrated him, and they chased him out of his kingdom. And they started this procession where if you'd encounter someone who was very smart, a man or a woman, they'd start bowing to them and calling them a god. If someone was better than other people, smarter than other people. So the Egyptians chose to serve the calf, because when they'd go to war, they'd put different shapes on their armor, the shapes of different animals. And whenever a person was victorious at war, they'd say, ah, you see the animals on his armor, the shapes of those animals, that's the ones that was victorious. And one time a person had a tremendous victory, and on his armor was the shape of a calf. So that's why they decided, okay, we have to worship the calf, because look at how victorious he was when he had the shape of a calf etched into his armor. And people were easy to go with that, because the calf is an animal that they got a lot of benefit from. The calf works the field. And they also worship the dog, because the dog is faithful to a human. He watches the human, and he hunts with the human. And they started worshiping Peor. The idea of Peor is that they'd make figurines in the shape of the human, the male and female gonads. Right. So I'm sorry, Peor was not that they made the shape, but they would reveal their gonads before that idol, because they say, look at how unique this part of the body is, that it gets rid of the parts, gets rid of what the body doesn't need, and it has the capacity to procreate, to bring about another person of the same shape. And they developed the idol worship of throwing a stone to Marculis, because the way they'd worship this idol was that they'd serve it with the first thing they'd encounter in the morning. What was the first thing they'd encounter in the morning? Stones. So that was the first thing. So it became an idol of throwing a rock at the stone. That was the idea of Marculis. He's describing to us how all these different weird forms of idol worship develop. So what was the logic behind it? The egel, he said. The dog, he said. Peor, because they admired it. And you see how they weren't far from the truth. Meaning we also make a blessing to Hashem about how Hashem gave us the capacity to get rid of the wastes and maintain what's necessary for the body. So the idea is in the right direction. Now, all this foolishness lasted through the days of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, until the days of Tola, the judge. And that generation, they chose 15 male gods and 10 female gods. Those would be the gods. The nations decided to cut it down, not to have so many gods. They cut it down to 25. Because before that, they had more than 30,000 gods that they'd worship. For generations, the world went after all these different pagan ways. And the only exception was the Hebrews, the descendants of Avram. But the world at large believed in all this. Until the time of the Caesar Constantine, about 4,774 years after creation. And it was 245 years after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And he destroyed all these different pagan beliefs and destroyed all the different idols. And if you go far out, he says, go out past Kush, go out into African cultures, you'll find all kinds of houses of worship of all kinds of weird things that people are still worshiping. Just look in the Moreh Nevuchim, he describes what's out there. He says, you know, where Western civilization reached, they abolished all this. But you go beyond that, you still find people believing in all kinds of forces.
You find it more developed in India.
What?
You still find it in India, which is even more developed than Africa.
Okay. And he says, look at Ibn Ezra in Vayigash, Veira, and Beshalach, that the people of Hodu, they don't eat things that come out of the living. And they are really descendants of Ham. They don't believe that Hashem created the world. And if you go out there, you'll discover that that's about half the world out there. Okay, so he's talking about the other side of the globe. He might have meant the East Indies when he says Bnei Hodu. I'm not sure, you know. Why do they call the bird Hodu? Turkey? Because they thought it came from the Indians. So they thought that was, why do they call them Indians? Because they thought they went to the East Indies.
Modern Hebrew came a lot after
this. Right.
So why did they take their name?
When did they have Hodu? Turkey only came from the Puritans' time, right. The whole name Hodu is a modern name for Turkey.
So much after they knew that it wasn't India already.
I don't know. Who told you that?
I'm just assuming.
No, because Turkey was discussed in Halacha 400 years ago when they first found it. They first had Turkey 500 years ago, right?
Okay.
They brought back Turkey from the New World.
So they discussed it in Hebrew?
Sure. You have a response about it then. There's a big machlokas whether it's kosher or not.
Yeah.
Huge machlokas. The Shlach Kodosh held it was not. You can't eat it. There were a lot of chacham who said you can't eat it.
They wrote it in Hebrew. So they had to come up with a word.
I don't know where they... originally they thought it was India. Originally they They thought it was an Indian chicken. Tarnagol Hodu, an Indian chicken. Okay. Back to the Seder Adoros. It took time until they discovered it was in India. It was already being discussed and responded. It only took a few years before they suddenly realized, hey, we have a new chicken on board. So they're all descendants of Ham, and they cover more than half the world. And they start their week on Wednesday, because that's the day when the sun rules. So their week starts on Wednesday. And okay, so he's giving us an overview of paganism in the world. And we'll just end off, we'll bring ourselves up to Terach. In the year 1819, Shrug was born when his father Reu was 32 years old. He lived for 230 years. And then in the year 1849, Nachol was born. He was the son of Serug when his father Serug was 30 years old, and he lived 148 years. And that brings us to Terach, the son of Nachol, who was born when Nachol was 29 years old, and he lived for 205 years. And we'll pick up here, Bezachim, next week.